From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 292, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness. It's Thursday, June 22nd, 2023.
Oh, yeah. You know what time it is. You know what time it is, Jack?
I know exactly what time it is.
Oh, good. It's good to know, because it's 20... Wait, what is it? The 22nd. Yeah, I knew that. It's National Onion Rings Day. Okay, shout out my favorite, actually. I think one of the more underrated fried foods. National HVAC Tech Day, obviously, with the heat out there. Shout out to everybody keeping that heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems all in check. National Chocolate Eclair Day. Also, World Rainforest Day. And National Kissing Day. Kiss your babies, kiss your loved ones.
I was out until rainforest and kissing.
There you go.
Well, Miles. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Come Grimace. Tell me that you're loving it and put it on my tongue. Ooh. That is courtesy of Salvador Jolly on the Discord.
Okay.
Politely spelled it C-O-M-E. Which was nice of them, even though we know what's really up. Also, some people are going out and tasting the Grimace Cum milkshake.
Uh-huh.
And it almost seems like they think they're doing it on our behalf.
Oh, like I have gone bravely to the arches to taste.
I just want to make sure it's clear. We're not endorsing this product. We're just saying that it is clearly Grimace Cum. That if that is intriguing to you, as it is to me, that's great. But that's
embrace it.
But just don't be mad at me when it tastes. I think one of the reviews was purple bubblegum and NUI. NUI.
Ennui.
Ennui.
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't you
fucking
like...
idiot? Fucking idiot over here. Ennui. I knew that. But for some reason, wasn't clicking today. Anyway,
philosopher, baby. Why'd you drop the ball on that one?
NUI?
NUI? NYU? The university?
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, wow. Ennui, baby. Anyway, Miles Gray, a.k.a. look, this is from Christian Yamaguchi, man, because we did... what's his face? Lone Elon. Muskrat. Yeah, Lone Scum was out here saying, you know, cisgender is now a slur. So allow me to introduce myself. Miles Gray, a.k.a. Cis Skull and Ebert, a.k.a. Sissy Cis Demeanor Elliot, a.k.a. Sisyphus, a.k.a. Sissy Spacek, a.k.a. Twisted Sister, a.k.a. System of a Down, a.k.a. Sister! Okay, thank you to Christy Yamaguchi, man, at Waffle House for those wonderful AKs and all the other people who hopped in that thread. Wonderful
stuff.
Yeah.
Biz came in with Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yes.
Was pretty good.
Another good, what was it? At Drugots, put Cisco, Drugots. Like that thong, the thong, thong, thong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sister Christian, Night Ranger.
Sister Christian.
Because you're motoring!
That song is everywhere these days.
Is it?
Yeah. It's in Air, I believe. It's pretty prominently featured in Air. But I feel like once it had its boogie night scene, it was over for all those other hoes.
Oh, 100%. Like 100%.
Journey. Fuck out of here, Journey. Anyways, Miles,
yes.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny comedian, activist. She's the host of the great award-winning podcast, Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, the senior fellow on comedy at the Pop Culture Collab. She's written in the New York Times, wrote and performed a piece on something called Fresh Air for some lady named Terry Gross.
Whoa.
It is the hilarious, the talented Zara Norba!
Zara!
Yo, I had a crush on the Grimace as a kid.
No. Why?
Yeah, the Grimace and the Hamburglar were like my early pan jam. Like, yeah.
You had like,
what's up?
You had like an awakening looking at Grimace?
A little bit.
Okay.
In retrospect.
Yeah.
Now that I appreciate my weird and kink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay.
I don't think I knew.
Justin, let me get screen share really quick because I just want to bring images of this to the forefront. Okay, here we go. Okay, so let's. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, look at that. Purple.
Oh, yeah, this one can get it with the teeth. Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Oh, no. Grimace with teeth is really troubling.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I mean, I don't know, Jack. Speak for yourself. I'm like, bite me.
Aye.
Bite my whole shit, baby.
Why does
Although
he have
without teeth? The teeth, also troubling because his mouth just looks weird and.
I like this one.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Grimace's mouth is a whole problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grimace's okay, mouth. You know what? Grimace with shades on? Okay, yeah. Grimace can get it.
He's like kind of giving perpetual duck face. Like, he looks like he has lip filler.
Yeah,
like,
it's hot.
Do we know Grimace's gender?
Is Grimace gendered? I don't know.
Grimace is like his
I think
own
Grimace
shit.
Is non-binary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
okay.
makes sense.
So they
Grimace
can get
is like purple Teletubby. Like, early purple Teletubby, like
yeah,
and he was always sort of like gyrating.
Yeah, he was a little. Yeah, he moves a little bit more dynamic than his amorphous form would have you believe.
Where the Hamburglar is always kind of sneaking around. And,
yeah, what know, about the Hamburglar?
Something
about this, like ooh. It was always like so deviant.
Oh,
it was just very queer to me. They were both.
So he was just
very
like a
queer.
Bad boy.
So, yeah, there's something deviant.
Oh, like
something.
Right here?
Ooh, yeah, look at that.
Ooh, what's up with these burgers? Okay.
Yeah, we're looking at an animatronic, and the big movement that they've given him is his eyes
shady
darting back
eyes,
and forth.
Like, ooh.
Yeah. Let's make a kinky sandwich.
And they're just burgers with so many preservatives.
And top it off with a Grimace cum milkshake. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
And sawdust.
Anyway, what's new?
Zara,
what's new, Zara?
What's new with you? You are breaking a record here, or at least approaching a record.
I'm so excited about breaking records.
Yes. For most
among
pregnant?
The most pregnant people that we've ever had.
I'm pregnant.
Yes.
37 weeks and 3 days.
There you go.
Wow.
Already dilated.
Beat that.
2 centimeters dilated.
Look at you. This child
what's
is coming.
What's going on? And I have COVID.
Hey,
you know,
look at that.
Which is why I sound like this.
The dedication.
I'm so dedicated. Yeah, they wanted to induce me, and I told them to wait until I do this spot.
Well, you did run. You ran it by Miles and I, and we were like, that actually, you know, you ran it by us a couple weeks ago. We said 2 weeks is not that much time for us to book a backup guest. And so, yeah, why don't you work?
And then this morning when you're like, guys, I have COVID. I was like, and?
Yeah.
We got a show to record.
Yo,
yeah. But
folks,
I appreciate that.
Oh, we're not recording this in person. Sorry. Is that why you're sharing that information with me? Because otherwise,
it doesn't. Yeah, when,
sounds like a YP, not an MP.
Not going to tell you about it.
But how's it? How you feeling? You're right there. You're on the doorstep. Feeling good.
Yo, you know, I feel surprisingly well right now.
Yeah, you
all
look,
things
you seem really
considered.
Well. Yeah,
I'm
you look great.
Glowy. My hair is voluminous.
Oh, my. Popping. Yeah.
Is that how that's pronounced? V-L-O-U-M-E. Is that volume?
Pronounced.
How am I?
Voluminous. Voluminous.
Volume-y. It's actually volume-y.
Yeah, it's very volume-y. And what else can I tell you? I'm walking a ton.
Yeah, good.
That's great.
And like, you know, just really feeling this. I've been taking hypnobirthing classes.
Damn.
What is that, like a genre of music?
It could be. There's like a lot of meditation, like, hypnobirth and chanting. It's okay. It's really fascinating. There's some of it that is like a little bit, you know, like cis white woman feminism of the 70s.
Some woo woo.
That's like, okay, let's, you know, some of it is a little bit ableist and is like, pain is the devil and don't think about pain.
Pain is just fear. And actually,
And so I'm a person who had chronic pain in her 30s and I had to work my way through it. Right. And so like, I dig a lot of the lessons about it, of like, they provide you with the most visualizations I've ever gotten in a birthing class. Mm-hmm. So like, I know at every single stage of my labor, what my uterus is doing, why, how, what's going on, what are the potential, and I have pictures. They do like, I had classes with like Play-Doh and like tactile shit.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. Is it like you're giving your baby that experience through your connection, or that's just for you?
No, it's just for me. It's so that I go in knowing, because with pain, when you don't know what's going on,
absolutely,
it's more painful.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's how pain works. It's sort of a general, it's kind of like anxiety when you have an emotion you can't identify and you're just anxious.
Sure.
Yeah.
But once you identify, oh, I'm pissed at you.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know?
Right. Oh, then, this is my uterus contracting. This is this happening, whichever.
Exactly.
That's good because you're building up this like psychological scaffolding for you to like reinforce your mentality going through what is going to be an experience like any other that I'm unable to imagine or experience. But
the hardest shit I've ever seen a human being do. Like just so incredible, so badass.
I had so much anxiety going into like the birth of my kid because like, I'm like, how do I help? You know what I mean?
But this is everything they give us so that it stops being sort of like monumentous and grandiose, or on the flip side, terrifying and anxiety provoking, and instead lives as this like very natural, very biological, organic thing that your body is primally ready to do.
Yeah.
Like, yo, folks, women in comas give birth.
Right.
Woo. And it's all about like relaxing, which of course, cut to the day I give birth and I'm like screaming.
It all goes out the window. We had a whole birthing plan.
Stabbing my husband, Duncan. And like, this is the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life.
You're like, give me an epidural. You're like, psych, give me that needle. We're my husband. This is for you. Oh, man.
Let me do it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm very excited for you. Very excited for you.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm actually genuinely excited for labor. I'm an extreme sports junkie. I'm very curious about how this is going to go.
Yeah.
I'm taking bets if y'all think I'm going to cave in the first 5 minutes or if I'm going to ride it out.
Okay. So what I'll take, I'd have to see your birthing plan to be able to assess how much you'll stick to it. But if I see your birthing plan and get a little bit of background on how other labors have been in your family, I might give you over under on how long the labor might take.
My mom, I was 3 weeks early. She gave birth to me in 2 hours, first kid.
Oh, wow. Shit. So the second kid.
No epidural. My sister, she came 2 weeks early. No epidural. She birthed my sister in an hour.
Yeah.
Damn.
My brother, 3 hours. My little sister, 4.
Oh, and wait, and you're the oldest?
I'm the oldest. I came in 2 hours.
Wow. Okay. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. I don't want to speak on that. I want to.
Now, my mom was 17 and I am 43 years old, folks.
Wow. Okay, a little bit different. Yeah. Some 26 years right there? Yeah.
Yeah, what's that differential on the pelvic floor?
All right. Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We are talking about Republicans being back on their fuckery with regards to the debt ceiling.
Hot.
We're trying.
Opposed to the pelvic floor, the debt ceiling. Mm. We're going to talk about Molly being used to address racism. We're going to talk about Joe Biden ruining Costco, other concerns on the right currently, all of that, plenty more. But first, Zara, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, this morning I searched, can I have overnight French toast in 30 minutes?
What that means?
Okay, so I do this thing regularly where I'm a Gemini. I always forget to pre-prep. And I don't do the pre-prep for the food that I want, but I still want it.
Oh, you mean to like soak the bread for French toast?
Yeah, because you have to, for overnight French toast, it's phenomenal. You soak the bread in the egg mixture with the cinnamon and everything. And then the next morning, you pop it in the oven for 15 minutes and it's just like ready. It might be like 45 minutes.
But... Oh, shit. I never even knew it like that.
God, it's phenomenal.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I've always known it just like on the spot. Like you got your stale bread or whatever that you're trying to turn up and then you kind of make it.
You
right
are
there.
Missing out on the soak. It is overnight. So custardy.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh.
Custardy.
And it's got that like sugar char.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a little creme brulee kind of little action.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in. Oh, and you were trying to say, can I speed this process up in 30 minutes?
Can we move this along?
The very American, like, yeah, but yeah. I need it right
can
now.
Can I turn this grape juice into wine in the microwave over the next 45 minutes?
Need to party
may
now.
I have also Googled that once in my life.
How quick grape juice become wine?
Right now, please.
Yeah, right now, 30 minutes. And what? I'm imagining that search rendered maybe your heart slightly broken.
A little bit. I'm in denial still.
Yeah.
Couldn't you do it with like some kind of pressurized?
Yeah,
I'm just saying like scientifically, like, right? Couldn't you put something like a pressure maker?
You and I are in sync on this because my next move was going to be to look up the Instapot.
Yeah,
right.
It feels like an Instapotable thing.
Or like a pressurized environment where you put the mixture in the bread and you pressurize
like
the like
stock
container
trading floor, like high pressure situation.
Yeah, it's just like
I have a rocket scientist friend at JPL that I hit up for these kinds of moments.
There and you go.
Yeah,
were they any help?
Every time.
Oh, okay, great. Except for
that's
this
amazing.
Time.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. Whenever people talk about pregnancy, they're always like, it's like an alien growing inside of you.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's, I don't.
That's your baby.
Well, that's the thing is it used to be that way in a real safe kind of mental picture.
Right.
And right. I had this whole process of sort of like coming to terms with this like birthing because so for other neurodivergent folks out there, ADHD folks, we are relational learners. Relational learners and very visual. And I have to be able to picture shit and to be able to like fully access it. And I was like freezing up and not able to actually plan for my postpartum and third trimesters and delivery because I was just like freezing up. I was so scared all the time. I was like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I did, if you want to do this too, it really helped me to get past the like alien baby mentality into something more natural. Mm-hmm. I started watching a lot of anal sex porn.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. Yeah. I'm glad you got there on your own.
I was just talking
about this.
To like really understand the movement of the perineum and how it expands and it can stretch and what the human body is capable of in terms of pressure down there. You know, it's a phenomenal thing. And I watched a couple of like, you could look up backstage anal sex preparation.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Get that O-ring ready.
Listen, there is some professionalism back there that I am impressed with.
Yeah.
The people
and now you know
really...
I think this is correct, but the baby doesn't come out of that one though, right?
I don't, wait.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Wait. I could use confirmation on this too.
Yeah.
No, here's what. Butthole babies are a thing if you tear.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
sure. Yeah, of course. And
then it's sort of
and it's just
thing.
All one big cloaca.
But this is what I was so scared of was like the tearing and the you know, and I
the
wanted to understand
tearing,
like how is there a way where it's not gonna just be horrifically painful and tear and all this stuff. I wanted to get myself out of the fear of it. And then my husband was like, I understand you going to these anal sex sites, but you could also watch birthing videos. So I started watching.
Yeah, that might be more one-to-one.
And that blew my mind because the OB literally reaches in and is like, she's right there and touches her head.
Yeah.
And pulls out a whole human And I had this moment where I was like, yo, it's not an alien. It's not a picture in an ultrasound. I just was like really humbled because I was like, all of us come from underqualified women's vaginas. None of us know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah.
We all think birth is like this noble thing, but we're all just like, we're so organic.
Yeah.
This is so mammalian.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that connects to my underrated.
Yeah. The alien thing, I wonder if there was a strong uptick in that after the film, like the most visceral image maybe in film history is like popper. That chest burster scene. Yeah. So, and I do think that things like that really burrow their way into people's unconscious.
Well, and here's the other thing I learned about midwife activism. Is that so in check this out in the 40s and the 50s the popular thing to do was to just put women under general anesthesia,
right?
Just knock them out
and they would put them on under like Purple and Twilight, which if you're not familiar, those are the drugs they give you so that you're like still cooperative but unconscious.
Yeah.
And the hypnobirth story is she goes in, I totally forget her name, Mangan is the last name. She goes in and says, I want to deliver naturally. The doctor says, sure. She wakes up with a baby in her arms.
Wow.
Right.
Like that's how little they listen to anything women had to say about their own bodies during birth.
Right.
And it was a part of the feminist movement to have birth naturally. And that became bigger in the 70s. Lamaze came around.
Right.
Right.
And so did Alien around that time. So I bet there's a link up.
Oh, yeah. That does. Yeah. That makes sense. What is your underrated?
Okay. We need more birth stories, folks.
Yeah. Mm.
I can't believe how, like, I was at the shoe store buying shoes and I was like, well, I'm 8 months pregnant, so my foot is growing. And this 20 something chick straight up just goes, I don't know how to relate to you at all.
Look, I'm fitting a lot of shoes today. I don't know how to relate to this. Wait, what was the interaction exactly? You're like, hey, I'm pregnant.
You can stop talking. I can't relate. So
I was like,
I don't know why you're still talking. But.
You know, I can't relate to this, right? But okay, go off, I guess. Your feet or something?
Like I had hired this like dog walker to help me walk the dog. And she kept asking me if I was scared.
Yeah.
And like, why I wasn't more scared, you know? And I just was like,
why
yo.
Aren't you terrified? Right.
Like, these aren't even men asking me these questions. You know what I mean? These are young women. And like, and even like friends of mine who, because I've been so far in a lot of friendships that are without kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I'm 43. I don't have a kid. And so a lot of my friendships have been with like childless families. And I've dug it. And, you know, we go on vacations and use our money in ways that are awesome, you know,
right.
And not Fisher Price. And so I wouldn't anyway. That I just feel like we need more birth stories out there. It's like, you know, alien animal husbandry or just like nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like there's a, like they... When there is a birth scene in a movie, it like some just auto fill, like text AI just takes over. And it's like the woman's there pushing and then like being mad, yelling at her husband. And that's the only version that we have is like, shut up. And he's like, duh. Oh, 100%. No, are you okay, honey?
Yeah.
And like, that's it.
And one of the things I've been digging about my hypnobirthing class is all the meditation that women do in the videos. In their videos, women are all like really quiet, really meditative, really introspective. And you can see them sort of like internal and bearing down.
Right.
And it's not this like screaming fiasco that I feel like is designed to scare the shit out of women.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we watched some birthing videos around the birth of our first. And just some people are able to just... meditative, quiet, like just, and I don't like that. That certainly wasn't what happened in our case, but it's definitely a good story to have contributed to the overall version of how this can go.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, not that I'm opposed to screaming and throwing darts at my husband.
Sure. Yeah.
As it's happening, dude, you know, darts that's is fine a good too.
Addition. I don't think I've seen.
I was thinking, yeah, I could like create a bullseye and just like.
Yeah. It's like a really powerful Nerf cannon of some
Lift your shirt up. Show me the target. You're like, eh. I had him painted on his chest with Sharpie earlier. Now let me see if I can get one in here. But yeah, I totally agree. My mind was completely, so much of my perception around pregnancy and childbirth was informed by fucking 90s movies.
Exactly. Yeah,
like 9 months and shit, where I'm like, like that's what you think is fucking going on. And then you talk like, then I talk to my other friends and relatives and people who I respect who have gone through this maybe one time or multiple times. And they're always like, they're giving me really good advice. And I realize how much of that shit seeps into your brain and completely just changes what exactly this whole thing is. And once I was able to sort of get past this like media informed idea of what it meant, I was able to enter this more like peaceful, calm, like loving part where my energy wasn't fear, but more like, how can I use my love to make this process the best way possible and then enter into this without necessarily having like the fear of someone screaming at me or accidentally grabbing my penis because they think it's my hand, like in all the movies in the 80s. Grab someone's hand. Urgh! I forget what movie that. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a movie where.
No, but that's totally what I'm going to do on purpose.
9 months or something. And like someone's giving birth and someone's like, grab a hold of something. And this woman just grabs the dude's crotch and just like, and the guy's like, ah. And she's like, you have a very big finger. And I forget what that is. I'm sure Zeit Gang will know exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway.
Oh my God. You don't understand. We do need more stories. I have such a nice husband. I used to play this game with him. Called Open Up Your Legs, I'm Gonna Narrowly Miss Your Balls. And I would make this. And he would do it every time. He would open up his legs and he'd always be like, oh, I hate this game.
How does he win that game?
Yeah, what are the rules?
It's always about whether I win or lose. Right. That was the why.
Whether he flinches.
Of the game. He's a cis man. He's a cis white man in the world.
Sorry, Justin, can you beat that out?
Take that out. Yeah, thanks. Because we can't get, we don't want to run afoul of Elon Musk's,
And then one day we were at dinner with friends and I was like, you know, he always lets me play this game. He just lets me. And we're all cackling. And he was like, hey. So then the next time I was like, open up your legs. I'm going to narrowly miss your balls during a boring documentary. He was like, no. Boring
documentary.
No, I won't. And I was like, damn.
I love that it's just done for your entertainment purposes. Yeah. It's not, it's just like when you're bored. I thought it was like, you know, you were mad at him or something.
There's a lot of things that I can get him to do in that labor delivery room. I have to really think about how I prioritize.
Cash those chips. Yeah.
So, they're like, so what's your birth plan? You're like, all right. So first of all, I tell my husband to open up his legs.
I'm going to nearly miss your balls. I was just asking if you wanted like a peanut pillow for your legs or if you needed like a yoga ball. No, I'm good. I'm just gonna narrowly just smash him in the crotch.
Next I just yank on his hair as hard as I can and
then I've got
he's not allowed to scream.
I've got this Grimace and Hamburglar costume.
We're gonna get freaky.
I was asking my OB, it's in my birth plan, can you dress as Grimace for the last few pushes?
Oh my God, that would make my day.
That's amazing. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some news. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy. my best hopes. I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And the GOP back on their fuckery. What's the latest, Miles?
It's not much here, but I just want to mention this because again, the fuckface wing of the Republican Party, the Freedom Caucus, they're like, this is bullshit. The debt ceiling. We fucking hate this. We need to cut all spending, especially the social safety nets. But remember, they did make a deal. They figured out. Remember, they said it was going to be real bad for the economy if we don't make this deal. The last minute, they made the deal, and Republicans agreed to fund the government and pay, you know, any outstanding balances, so forth. But guess what? Now they're deciding they can fuck shit up by going after appropriations bills to cut spending. So these are the bills that spell out exactly how these budgets are, how the money is spent. So their little fucking, you know, clever logic here is saying like, well, you know, I know we agreed to all these figures in the debt ceiling bill, you know, and like that. But to us, that was just a cap. You know, that just means we could go up to that amount. There's nothing to say we can't go below that by $120 billion. That is now the logic that they're parading around in some of these committees, which is basically saying, like, we just agreed to that being like a number, the top number. Right. And meanwhile, like, every other sane human being is saying, like, how is that a fucking deal if you say, this is the number we're agreeing to for this debt ceiling? And then you renege on that after the fact and be like, actually, no, that's just the highest. So, this is going to be an issue, obviously, with the Democrats and the White House and also the Senate, because they're always the ones who have to like end up seeing these bills and be like, fuck, man, like, what is this? Like, don't they know how to just fucking do the bare minimum? Spoiler alert, they don't. And Senate Republicans aren't even really happy with this because even like some of their like they've somehow awoke from their MAGA coma in the Senate. And you have people like this senator. I didn't even bother to figure out who it was. Let me tell you exactly who it was. Oh, yeah. John Kennedy, who is famously not the most consistent senator that we have, said, quote, if you propose a compromise, you need to tell the truth and tell people exactly what the compromise is. I can tell you that senators are tired of getting the compromise, voting for it, or even not voting for it, and finding out later that wasn't the truth. So
this is him complaining about this last minute switcheroo.
From the Freedom Caucus freaks who are like, this is how we can extract our pound of flesh or whatever. And even Kevin McCarthy is like, yeah, I mean, I guess that, like, I get that logic, but I had to kind of make a deal with them to keep my gavel. That's really cool. So there's
basically
that gaggle.
Yeah.
So he's just bringing a bigger and bigger gavel to work every day.
He's like, try and take this. It's so fucking heavy. But yeah, more brinkmanship on the way.
And systemically, for some reason, this reminded me of like the conversation we were having in our episode where we interviewed, you know, where we were talking about Big Sugar and the sugar industry and how there was
a phenomenal episode.
Thank you. Great episode. Great podcast, by the way. Everybody should go listen. Yeah. But, you know, early in the episode, Celeste was talking about how early in the season, like, they win a victory. Like, they sue on behalf of all these sugarcane workers and like get this big settlement for sugarcane workers, like $50 million. And it's a huge win. But then the side that is like capital and private money and private capital just pushes back and just keeps pushing, and they have more time and more energy and more weight in our world because they're able to just do it. So like, even it's just like even a small win, like getting them to let the economy keep moving and like having spending for these programs, like there's still a way for them to claw it back. There's still a way for them to just make any victory on behalf of like social spending and social welfare into a loss, because the system is just set up to favor anything that is going to get in the way of, you know, social welfare and allow people to, like, it's just better for them to have a thing where they're just like, no, we just privatize everything. And it's
why
like,
why are they such cartoon villains?
I don't know. I mean, because we're at that phase too where we really have people who have no business participating in civics.
Yeah.
You know, at the even most basic level, who have basically racist memed their way into Congress.
Exactly. And like that's how they got there.
Yeah. And then like, okay, what do you want to do with these budgets? They're like, huh? I don't like Joe Brandon. They're like, oh no. Okay, well, this is bad. How? Because there's a lot of people saying, oh yeah, if we have another government shutdown, that won't be that bad. Yeah, it would be. It would be. But again, this is the back and forth that we get to witness firsthand as we welcome new life into the world.
It's like a whole party of I want to die alone.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
It's like the same mentality. I don't care. I want to die alone.
Let me die alone.
Yeah. Well, speaking of racists, one of them has taken Molly and realized that they were racist and that being racist sucks.
White supremacy bad?
What? Are you trying to tell me that the villainized drug of the 70s that was the smokescreen to cover up the Korean War, it actually turns out to be good?
It might, but don't hold your breath now. But
wait, I didn't know Molly was even around in the 70s. I mean, I knew it was like first starting out as a party drug in Dallas, but isn't Molly's like the
MDMA?
Is MDMA? I thought it was.
We
like
shouldn't
the
use
same
the street
cooking
term for ecstasy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
MDMA. Yeah, yeah. Let's be a little scientific here. I say Molly because you know I'm out here in the streets, having a good time.
But it's MDMA. It is being treated as a psychedelic that is like being researched heavily, not as a thing that you just like give out to people, but as a therapeutic instrument.
Yeah.
That where like during a therapy session, you are given it, and then there is like a guided therapy session in which the kind of, you know, effects of the MDMA help you come to terms with different parts of your emotional like scaffolding and like how you've been built and how you've built yourself kind of accidentally and haphazardly in the dark of your unconscious. Like you now have access to that stuff.
Yeah.
And whereas like during normal therapy, you're just talking to a person and it can be difficult or take time. I guess it's like the thing that you hear a lot is that it's just a shortcut to like get into a lot of these issues that people need to be able to address and that takes a lot of time and a lot of like breaking down barriers to get to.
The best analogy I heard for it was that because MDMA, it fills your receptors with love drugs,
oxytocin.
Right? It's like a love drug. It's people explain that it's sort of like when you're wanting to dive into trauma, just raw like that with a therapist one-on-one, it's kind of like pouring an empty pitcher.
Right.
And trying to drink from that cup.
Right.
Versus with MDMA, then you're actually sort of filling the pitcher with water. You're filling your receptors with good feeling and then tackling the trauma.
Right.
And I have a few friends that it was absolutely life changing for.
Yeah. We see the research constantly how it's helped, especially with people like with PTSD and soldiers, with stress and like trauma as it relates to like racial abuse and shit like that. It's like all we see are like positives here.
Yeah. There's a psychedelic science conference happening in Denver this week, actually. And like there's just so much learning. And so it's a very exciting time for people who are in medicine and like kind of interested in using these tools. Like the research that's coming through is that it's like a very powerful tool.
Yeah.
And a great documentary by Michael Pollan.
Yeah.
On Netflix, during which I was narrowly missing my husband's balls.
Oh, so not the most engaging. You got a little bored there.
Some parts I was like, I get it.
All right, ball smash time.
I narrowly
smashing them. But this story is comes out of a recent study from the University of Chicago, where researchers were looking at how MDMA was like enhancing the pleasantness of certain types of physical touch. And one participant stuck out to the researchers there. His name Brendan, because at the end of the trial, this guy, Brendan, filled out the final questionnaire. And at the bottom of the form, when they're talking about, like, how do you feel going, like, after this whole experience, wrote, quote, "This experience has helped me sort out a debilitating personal issue. Google my name. I now know what I need to do." When they looked at that, they said, holy, wait, what the fuck does this person mean by "I now know what I need to do"? Like, go talk to them right now.
That phrase is scary as fuck.
Yeah, because they also Googled his name and found out that about a year or two prior to this study, he was doxxed by like Antifa like researchers who were basically trying to put out all these names of prominent Nazis and white supremacists in the U.S. And he was one of them. He led a very prominent group in the Midwest. So they were like, what the fuck? When they asked him, they're like, yo, so what's this plan, white supremacist guy, now that you've had some like MDMA? He said, quote, "Just realized love is the most important thing. Quote, I felt in that moment that all of my priorities in my life were just so messed up. The way I was interacting with people, particularly people who are close to me. But there was also an almost euphoric feeling, a feeling of love. And I concluded that was the sort of feeling that I should strive to permeate across the world." So they're like, oh, okay. His background was, you know, in high school, he leaned liberal, but then he got to college, joined a frat of like affluent white guys that were conservative. Hmm. And then that being around those people slowly sent him down like that radicalization rabbit hole of like, hey, you should read this book. Hey, you should check this podcast out. Hey, you should check out what they're saying on Fox. And next thing you know, he's leading he's in fucking Charlottesville, like with a tiki torch.
Wow.
Leading people.
Yeah.
So now this isn't to say like MDMA is a cure all, because this guy was in a period of like serious self-reflection after being like outed, losing his job, and like his like relationships, like close relationships began to fall apart. But he said that really had him in a state where he was trying to figure out what was going wrong, since up to that point, he thought he was on like a good trajectory with all this nonsense. And many experts like agree. They're like, yeah, intention is the key here. When using psychedelics, it's not like you could just airdrop a bunch of MDMA on the state of Florida and then like, we're going to move on.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you have to have the intention to at least be open to looking at your own life and be in a period of self-reflection. Because again, this isn't some magic racism eraser.
It's also not a pill that you take and have this insight. Again, it is part of a like total program of therapy where you're working with a therapist who knows you and has a sense of like where you're at. And it's that I feel like there's just going to be a tendency for Americans to be like, all right, so I take this thing and like things are good again.
No.
It's like I take it like Tylenol and we're good. No, it's actually part of working on yourself, which is uncomfortable. This just gives you an ability to do uncomfortable work a little bit more freely.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like, you know, one of the researchers that was spoken to for this article from UCLA was just saying like, you know, all psychedelics have the potential to help people get in touch with new perspectives. For other radicalized individuals, she says, a drug like ayahuasca could be useful because it's like taking sort of a good, hard look at yourself in the mirror. She goes on to say that's why ayahuasca kind of has a reputation of doing to people, kind of showing them maybe where they screwed up and how they got there in a compassionate way, which is also important.
There's all kinds of studies of doing this on cops with PTSD that have been highly successful. It's like more prevalently used in the UK. There's lots of research studies on it there.
Right.
And here it was like it became demonized, like Nixon demonized it all. And it became part of the like smoke screen.
Yeah. Right.
Look at LSD. Look at all these, you know, hallucinogenics.
That's the problem. Not creeping inequality or that kind of shit. No.
Yeah. It kind these of blew drugs. My mind that the guy who invented the PCR study found it during a LSD trip.
What's the PCR study?
Like, you know, PCRs, like the molecular
PCR tubing.
What is it that you do for COVID? You take like a PCR test.
Yeah. Oh, polymerase chain reaction.
Yes.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He visualized it in an LSD trip.
Oh, because that's how you visualize DNA samples, right? That's
right.
Like the whole
point.
Well, yeah, that is how they...
Yeah.
Francis Crick, actually, the guy who discovered... They couldn't figure out the structure of the DNA double helix, and he had the insight of the double helix shape while tripping on LSD and also after reading a bunch of research by a woman who had already figured it out. And he just, I guess, he got a lot of credit.
Trifecta. And,
yeah.
Yeah. But I think, again, like, it's interesting to hear this guy, Brendan, talk about it too, because he's also saying, like, this isn't going to solve our societal. It's not like this is a cure-all, but it is clear it helps people. He goes on to say, quote, a lot of these guys who end up in these movements have a history of doing MDMA.
Yeah.
He's like, but you have to have the right framing and mindset, because that's the only way you can be somewhat open to reconsidering your own ideologies. He said, quote, it helped me see things in a different way that no amount of therapy or anti-racist literature ever would have done.
Right.
And he still says he struggles with, like, these beliefs that he has, but he's completely, like, has been able to sort of step outside of this, like, white supremacist ideology and be like, oh, this doesn't serve me at all or what I want, like, my life to be. Yeah. So it's a very, like, interesting story. I know a lot of people, like, the shorthand would be like, all right, MDMA for, like, everybody. That's the thing. Yeah. But it's a combination of things that really help people.
But the version that he did is a clinical, like, you know, under medical supervision. And that stuff is much harder to do in the United States than in other places, because it, to your point, Zara, has been demonized. And so, like, that is the thing, that it can be useful in a society where they're willing to just accept what a powerful tool it can be for therapists. But
I don't know. I say I'm kind of on the side of everybody, let's try it. Because right now, a lot of people are doing that with Adderall.
Right.
And treating it like the drug that's going to fix all my behavioral shit. I see it all the time. And there's so much else that Adderall does too that is, like, so detrimental.
Totally.
And by the way, the, like, myth of the Swiss cheese brain is actually, like, an Adderall side effect, right? not an LSD MDMA psychedelics side effect.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That was, like, a whole propaganda train.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s and 90s. So for the way that, like, we Americans do stuff, I'm just like, I don't know, maybe more of us should just be, like, smoking pot and doing MDMA.
Oh, yeah.
It should be
less stigmatized and less illegal, for sure. I'm just saying,
like, if you're gonna polarize,
yeah,
rather than going the route of, like, cocaine and Adderall and coffee.
Right. But those help you do work. Those help you do work and contribute to the economy.
But then look at all these phenomenal scientists that got shit done on LSD.
Right.
That's like, how it works.
But pipe down about that, because then we might not have need for other pharmaceuticals.
Right, my bad.
You know, people
might not. You can see the values of our society based on what drugs are legal versus illegal. And
I'm just saying
that the legalization and the stigma makes it much harder for therapists. Like, therapists are afraid of losing their license. And it's very few people that get access to this type of therapy and this type of, like, official sanctioned, like, well designed therapy work that this person had access to. So it needs to be destigmatized across the board and made more less illegal.
And just, like, thinking right about, like, the unpacking your trauma, right? Because so many of us we go through shit and we just lock it up. We leave it in the back of our minds and then wonder why it ends up festering and affects other dimensions of our relationships and personal lives. I have nothing to do with even that specific event that happened.
Right.
And the power of being able to examine that is a huge part of having any kind of growth, because most growth is not happening because we don't have the ability or the openness to reflect on these things we've been through, because it's so deeply uncomfortable. And it kind of reminded me, there's, like, this recent clip. I hate to bring up Tucker Carlson, but he was on Megyn Kelly's show, and the way he talks about his mother's death, you're like, this is exactly what the fuck, like, goes on with people, right? Like, I'm just going to play this to you, because he's so casual about this. And I don't, like, I understand, like, there's a lot to do with, like, his own abandonment issues with his mother, et cetera, but hearing someone talk like this, you're like, man, this motherfucker could use some Molly. But anyway, this is just like hear him talk just about his mother.
But, you know, our mom was not a fan of us and was pretty direct about it. And, you know, that's obviously hurts when you're little. But then I realized you can't control it. You know, you just can't control it. And your mother doesn't like you. Okay, boo-hoo. You know, it sounds really terrible. And the day it actually happened,
when his mother
I got this call, like, she's dying and in this weird little town and on a farm that she lived on in southwestern France. And she was basically French at this point, spent her life there. You should go visit her. And so I call my brother and he's like, what? No. You know, my son's got a soccer game. And I said, I feel the same way. I don't know this person. And and actually, this sounds cold or whatever, but I had already kind of made my peace with this over many decades, over 35 years. And I didn't fall apart at all. I went out to dinner. I mean, I felt sad for her, I guess. I don't know much about her. She was an artist. She had shows. Okay, I guess. And all that, but she wasn't part of my life. I wasn't part of hers. And
yeah,
this explains so much.
I didn't fall apart. I just built myself brick by brick into a horrifying monstrosity of toxic masculinity.
It's so wild.
I didn't fall apart, though. I didn't fucking care. I'm here.
I created a whole set made of wood, and I screamed from it. Like,
also, did Tucker Carlson just say he's an immigrant? Is he French?
No, no, he's talking about how his mom immigrated to France. And he's like basically saying she's basically French because she left.
His mom expatted.
His mom's a hippie who left them at a very young age to like and go then, hippie it up. And it explains everything.
At six, his mom was like, you kind of suck.
And that's he has that. Well, the other thing, too, is I think he's also referencing the fact that later in life, his mother hated his politics. And famously, like, it was after she passed away, right? She was also an heiress. She had a lot of money.
Wow.
And when she passed, no. Swanson is who his father remarried. Right. Yeah.
Got it.
But when his mother passed, her estate was sort of contentious where the money was going. And him and his brother fought her husband over the money. Despite him being like, I don't care about her. I've moved on. Him and his brother, they had a long protracted legal battle over her estate. And what happened was later on, they found her will in a book that she had handwritten, and she had only left her Tucker and his brother $1 each.
Oh, so they got something.
Burn.
Still, like, for you, it's like you can tell all of this like pain swirling around, like, you know, clearly she like they had a contentious relationship, but he was also like, I need that fucking money too. It's just
that's the only thing that actually
matters, who right? else talks about their mom like that? Bob Durst.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Bro, Robert Durst?
Yep.
You said Bob. That was damn, so casual. I was like, hold on. You kicking it with Bob? Right.
I mean, I did watch that whole documentary.
Just burping up. Yeah. After having memories of my mother. But yeah, I mean, like, again, these are, you just sort of see examples all the time. And I'm not trying to lay everything at, like, you know, that mom.
A lot of sociopaths and psychopaths will cite their relationship with their mom as the reason for their behavior.
Yeah, and I mean, it surely has to do with his, like, very, you know, misogynistic worldview.
Yeah, because they don't understand empathy, but they are clued into pity.
Right.
And so they look, that's one of the, like, formative ways that they look to access sympathy.
Mm. Well, look, he wasn't really bummed out by it at all. He went to dinner, okay? Next question, Megan.
Next question. Moving on.
I also think it's funny that he... Like, it's almost an insult to his six-year-old self how he responds to it. You know what I mean? Is like, you're going to, like, tell your six-year-old self that, like, you didn't dissociate. You just weren't bummed out by it at all, right. You know?
It didn't bother me. It did. It did. There's no way it didn't. But again,
Tucker.
We get it. That's where you were forged in, like, the fires of, like, a Marvel villain. It feels like.
Truly, like, it would be too on the nose for a Marvel villain. Like...
Yeah.
It would just be like, all right, that's a little pet. His hippie mom left him and then like
he hates
didn't
all
leave
hippies.
Him any money. And he like went on TV and was like, my mom didn't like me and I'm fine with that. While like, you know, just like fucking steamrolling over like just a lifetime of pain. I'm fine with that. I didn't fall apart.
Oh,
I'm together.
Okay.
I'm rock solid.
All right.
Anyways.
All right. Look at my wood set.
Let's take a quick break to marvel over Tucker's wood set. And we'll be right back.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And Costco has been trending on Twitter for the past couple days after New Mexico state lawmaker Stephanie Lord posted part of a receipt from a recent trip to the store / Time Vacuum Costco. She spent $800 and blamed Joe Biden, just, you know, despite the fact that he's not, I don't think he's been a manager at that particular Costco, but the tweet, thanks Joe Biden, $799.38 for one full cart at Costco with 58 items. Holy shit. And only 9 non-food items like paper towels, plastic bags, trash bags, and razors.
Is that a Republican mad that things cost a lot?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's Joe Brandon's fault.
It's Brandon's fault. She bought, so 58 items, that works out to an average of $14 per item, which actually makes total sense for Costco.
Right.
58 items is a lot of items to buy at Costco.
I feel like
she is Tetrising all of those items.
That's about 3 carts, yeah.
Yeah, that is a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Costco is just so, like, that's what a 58 item Costco trip is, what you do once a year. Hopefully. And
most of them are food items. Is that what she's saying?
She said are
yeah,
not.
Most of them are. No, she said most of them are. Only 5 like non-food.
Oh,
items.
Only 9 non-food. Right.
Yeah, 9.
Most of them.
So 49.
Food.
Yeah.
And what you buying? What? You got a couple rotisserie. How many rotisserie chickens you get?
I mean, probably not that many, Miles, because
that's a hell of a baby shower.
I feel like she is not aware of the like good value items at Costco either, if she's, you know, averaging out to $14 an item. But
right,
I don't know, it's just such. And then people were like, yeah, that's, first of all, like, the things you get at Costco are like lifetime supply of
toilet paper.
Raisins,
where's the fucking paper. Itemized receipt?
Yes.
She needs
to give us like, the itemized receipt.
I need to see literal fucking receipts, madam.
How much you want to bet that's beer and wine?
Yeah, she doesn't want to show that. It's all fucking Kirk's signature light beer.
Yeah.
And she responded when people were like, "Could we see the itemized receipt, ma'am?" She just raged and was like, "Triggered progressive left wingers." And like, I don't know. This just seems to be, it happens all the time, but just this, it's the same thing with Elon Musk declaring cisgender a slur. You know, it's like we're being attacked by these words. But then when it comes to, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people who are harassed by actual hate speech every fucking day on Twitter, he's completely silent. But when it comes to like a descriptor of his, you know, the fact that he is cisgender person who complained to him is cisgender, you know, he's just the most brittle soul on the planet, you know.
Yeah.
He's just the softest, most sensitive snowflake. But they have somehow, and I do feel like they've like somehow won that argument. Hopefully it's changing, but it does feel like
the perception, you mean?
Yeah, just that perception in mainstream popular culture is still that, like, I don't know, people are too sensitive. Because
that's still the status quo. You know what I mean? The status quo, we're not there where everyone...
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just not there yet.
Yeah.
We all agree that everybody deserves the same amount of respect and autonomy. We're just, that's just not the status quo. So because of that, people who are like still fighting for it, like, what is this?
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, again, and also you show you let your transphobia show hardcore when you're like, cisgender's a slur. Yes.
How dare you?
Okay, fool. We get it. Go back to your fucking whatever you fucking do.
I don't understand that. Like, you're biologically who you also identify as, and you're mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're using it to other me.
Because you're like, using that to be mean to me by pointing it out in context that I don't like.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a history of oppression for the cisgendered people of America?
Right. This is like the other thing of like, this is why we need MDMA in our water. I've decided. I'm all the way there now, Jack.
We also need to get him interested because he has like a like very dumb guy who thinks he's a smart guy brain, and I feel like we could get him really interested in the Titanic, and he also is very confident in his ability to build submersibles. Remember when there was that cave rescue?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I'm gonna bring in this submersible and it's gonna save everyone, and people like looked at the submersible and they were like, that's not gonna work at all, like here. Right. We have to like go through narrow corners, and that thing is the size of a fucking minivan, bro. And I'm just saying there could be some efficiencies between these news stories that have obsessed people over the past if we could get Elon Musk interested in them.
Put him in a submarine.
I'm just saying.
Just
he might enjoy it down there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or being like, yo, bro, you know what could happen, bro? You could find Atlantis. Blow this shit open, homie.
Yeah.
I believe in you, bro. Of all the people, I feel like you could go to the bottom of Mariana's Trench and figure it out, homie. Be
James
brave
Cameron's
enough.
Been deeper than you. Oh, you think it's cool that you've been to space? James Cameron been deeper than everybody in the whole world.
You going to let James Cameron do that? You going to let James Cameron fucking hand
you
that
look like a bitch?
This is what I'm saying, is all these folks floating around with empty pitchers and their mama's mad at them. And they haven't gotten over it, and they don't actually know what being mean means.
Right. Yeah.
They're just sad.
Yeah, totally.
They're very ticklish. They're just scared of anyone touching them. They're just like, oh, no, don't stay away from me. Just like balled up like a fucking fist, their whole body is. And then, you just can't do anything.
This is why I roll with the Hamburglar and the Grimace, and we grind on each other and we tickle.
Cuddle puddle.
It's a good life.
There you go.
All right. Zara, such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. This is the best vaginal send-off
Yeah.
Before I launch myself down my canal.
Oh, yeah.
And birth another human being.
That is like an ayahuasca. That's if you give birth on an ayahuasca, you're actually giving birth to yourself. Like, right. That would be wild. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
You can come to my house.
There you go.
Yeah, you can come to my house or, you know, hack into my phone and watch my birth with me.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, or you can go on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Zahra Comedy, ZAHRACOMEDY, pronounced comedy, if you are Jack O'Brien. Hey. And we'll get out of some ennui together.
Yeah. N-U-I.
Ennui.
Wish me luck, folks. Wish me luck out there.
Oh, all the luck.
When I come to, I'm going to be working on my book.
Oh, nice. Go. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
I want to see that baby.
Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Yes. Okay. Everybody watch this. It went viral for a hot second in like a pocket of young women, but like everyone fourth grade and above needs to watch this TikTok that is a woman putting a ping pong ball inside of a balloon. You blow it up and it mimics the baby inside of the uterus.
Whoa.
Yes. And then as she blows up the balloon, she lets the ping pong ball settle at the neck of the balloon. It closes off the air. That's the baby at the base of the cervix. And then she pumps the top of the balloon. This is fabulous. She pumps the top of the balloon. Those are uterine contractions that thin out the neck of the balloon. And that's how you give birth. She gives birth. I did it at home and I popped the balloon twice, which is how you tear.
Oh, wow. Like she didn't even have to tie it. It just holds the air.
It holds the air. And then the way she's pressing on the balloon right now, those are contractions. And the contractions actually help you give birth to the ping pong ball. You see that? It's phenomenal.
Right. Starts it facing. Oh, okay.
Wow.
That's the baby coming out of the vaginal, out of the cervix and the vaginal canal.
Oh, the shit blew out.
Yeah, and then the ping pong ball just comes flying out. Shit.
Yeah, if you push too hard, you tear. That's what
terminal
I
terminal velocity. Yeah. That's terminal velocity.
Easy. Yeah. Take it easy.
That's so wild because that is such a simple demonstration.
Oh my god!
That like helps not make so much of it abstract.
That makes TikTok like, worth it. The whole existence of TikTok is worth it for that.
Turns out that woman, she's just wearing scrubs. She has no medical training.
Is that real?
No, I don't know. It's just like, that's how TikTok is. Like, I'm wearing scrubs. Y'all are going to believe it.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? Is there work in media you've been enjoying?
Yeah. Find me at Miles of Gray at Based Life Forms or social media platforms. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got mad boosties talking to NBA. But also find me and Sophia Alexandra on our trash reality TV show podcast, 420 Day Fiance.
The reality TV is trash, not the podcast.
I don't know. I mean, it could be trash. I don't know. It's up to you. The eye of the beholder and all that. Yeah. So check that out. Some tweets I'm liking. I got a couple, actually. The first one, Sarah at Knight's Gravity tweeted, "I'll say I got that dog in me, and it's Snoopy."
Yeah,
you got that dog in you. And then another one at GLD Vittorio tweeted, "The reason people are having a hard time finding sympathy for the submarine passengers is because it isn't a situation that could happen to anyone. No one is afraid of a friend or family member accidentally spending $250,000 to go crisscross applesauce into the USS Jigsaw." Yeah, it kind of feels right.
It's like such a dark story and yet like also so absurd that like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the tweet goes on to say, "I'm not saying it's normal to lack empathy for people we can't relate to. I'm saying psychologically it isn't instinctive because this circumstance is so far beyond being a conceivable threat or apprehensible horror on a level past cognitive dissonance toward refugees or the poor." There it is.
Yeah. There it is. All right. Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien, a tweet I've been enjoying. DJ Fuck at Eggshell Friend tweeted, "Baby on board? With what? What's he down for?" He's on board.
What's he down for?
He's down.
Ride
he's
or die. Board. Yeah. Yeah,
hey, Jack.
Yeah.
I want to play a game with you.
Uh oh.
Open up.
Open
your
legs. Open them thighs.
Open your legs.
Open them thighs.
I'm going to narrowly miss your balls.
There it is.
The true
I like there, there needs to be like a jazzy like 1970s game show theme that comes up when you're like, I'm going to narrowly miss your ball. Like you say, I'm going to narrowly miss. And then the crowd all goes, miss your balls.
Today's contestant is a radio DJ from the Los Angeles area named Jack O'Brien. Come on down. You're like, it's like Price is Right. Where you're like, oh, me? And you run down, the
run down and just throw my legs open.
Are you excited? Yeah. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
This is like a, some nice sort of, you know, new age housey kind of R&B track from the artist Maeta, M-A-E-T-A. And it sounds like K-Tronada type production. I'm not sure if it's a K-Tronada beat, but obviously K-Tronada style is very popular right now with the, you know, people like that house sound. And this track's called Questions. It's a nice track. Good vocals. Just a fun, upbeat track just to start getting your weekend going. So check this one out.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.